telling him to lie. But the Shaykh explains to us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, lying is not lying in three cases. The first of which, where if you say a statement of mistruth, it is not counted as a lie, is the speech of a man to his wife to ease her pain or ease her suffering, or cause her to be in good relations with him. The Shaykh explains that if she is angry and she asks you, do you love me? And maybe at that moment you may not be in love, and you say, yes I do. This is one point. The second point where your lie is not a lie is when a person the second point where the statement you make is not a lie is when you try to reconcile two people who have fallen into an argument. So you go to one of them and you say, you know your brother, he said such and such and he asked your forgiveness. When the man did not, or the sister had not. And then you go to the other one and you tell him, you know the other brother, he said he's sorry and he wishes to get back with you and to be with you again as a close friend. To reconcile their differences. The third situation, and this is the reason that the Abid, the worshipper of Allah, told him to lie, is at the time of battle and conflict, in the time of Harb. As you shall soon see in the furthering of the narration, because the young child was going to be at war with the king and the sorcerer. So at these times of fitna, you may use such a thing. The Shaykh gives us the example, if you are a soldier and you are caught in the battlefield, and the enemy asks you, you are fighting for Allah and His Messenger, and the enemy asks you, where are the ammunition depots, where are they hiding the missiles? You as a Muslim must do your best not to say. Because this is for Allah and for the betterment of all of the ummah. We continue with the hadith. Every day he would be late and as such. Many days have passed and he began to learn more and more from the Abid. One day a lion attacked the city. No one could pass throughout the streets in Asad. No one could pass through the streets in safety. So they came to the king and said, find the solution. He said to a sorcerer, kill this lion for me. So the sorcerer, feeling old, said, no, I will let my young disciple or my young student do it. So he told him, go out and kill the lion. So the child now said, here is the moment where I know who is better with Allah, the sorcerer or the worshipper. And he picked up a stone and he said, O Allah, if you feel that the action of the worshipper and what he is teaching is better than the sorcerer, allow the lion to be killed. And he threw the stone at the lion. And the lion dropped dead. This was his reliance in Allah to see the truth. And right away after the lion died, the people began to speak proudly of this young child who has killed the lion and is the sorcerer's apprentice. And then he began to cure people from their illnesses. The person, al-akmah, the person who was blind even from birth, he would give him back his sight with the power and will of Allah. The person who had leprosy, diseases, he would make dua and with the will of Allah, the person would become cured. And this began to spread throughout the land. One of the king's closest friends, who always was close to the king, heard of this and since he was blind, said, I am going to take as many gifts and as much wealth with me, and I'm going to go to the child and see if he can cure me. He came to the child and he told him, all of what you see, all this wealth, all of this king, all of this gold and whatever, I will give it to you if you can give me back my sight. Listen to the words of the child and the words of belief in Allah. He told him, I have no ability in curing, for Allah is the one that cures. And if you believe in Allah, I will make dua for you. Showing that he is not the reason, but Allah is the reason of the cure. He is the one who makes dua to Allah for the believer. So the person believed in Allah, and the child made dua, and the man regained his sight. Upon coming to the king, this man who was the king's friend came to him. And usually he was led into the king's room because he could not see. This day he opened the door by himself and walked in with his sight. And the king saw him and said, you have regained your sight. Verily my young child is growing in power and in authority. And he said, bring him to me. As the child was brought to the king spoke to him and said, we hear that you cure such and such and such. The man who regained the sight, the king first questioned him and told him, who has cured you? Told him, it is Allah who has cured me. He told him, you have a God other than me. أَلَكَ إِلَهِ غَيْرِي. You have a God that you worship other than me, in a surprise. So he told him, my Lord is your Lord and the Lord of all creation. So the king began to punish him severely and brought the child and said, what is this that we hear that you are saying that there is another Lord that you worship? And he began to punish the child severely. And the child withheld the punishment and would not speak of who taught him until the very end, for this was the promise that he had given the monk who was teaching him. The monk, when he saw his power was growing, told him, because you have gained in stature, you will be tested by Allah. No one who has been given guidance by Allah except that he will be tested. So when you are tested, do not tell them who has taught you. And this, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah explains, is not because he was afraid, but because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us not to seek the places of conflict. Because we do not know how we will fully react when we are in it. You may say, yes, I can go and do battle. But when you are there and you see the shimmering of the sword, as the Shaykh Hafidhahullah explains, you may become weak and run away. So this is why the monk said, don't tell him about me. And after the child was punished severely, he could not hold it in. And he said that the one who taught me is the monk. The monk was brought. And the first word the king said, not asking him who is your God or anything, he said, go back and get away from this religion. Turn away from your religion. He told him, I will not. So the king placed a saw, the Masriq Ra'si, in his scalp, on his skull, and began to saw him fully in half, until both sides fell. And then he brought the man who was blind, who was his friend. And this is the way these people who don't believe in Allah are. Even if you are his closest friend and ally, once he senses that you have turned to Allah, there is no loyalty to you. He turned to his dear friend who now regained his sight and spoke to him and said, turn back from your religion. He told him, I will not. So he killed him also. Then he came to the child but did not kill him. Because as the Shaykh Hafidhahullah explains, he thinks of the future. He says, this is a powerful child. When he gets older, he will be more powerful. He can help us. When we need something, let us try to win him over first. Let us try to put fear in him so he comes to our side. So he ordered some of the soldiers, some of the police at the time, to take the child to the highest mountain. And if the child did not leave the religion, to push him off. And this is the point of the hadith. The Shaykh explained, this is the shahid, the moral. The reason that the Shaykh is narrating this to us is that when the child was being taken, knowing that the king is planning to murder him, if he does not turn away, he said inside him and turned to Allah and said, O Allah, protect me from them in the way you wish. Whatever way you wish, deal with them, O Allah. So Allah caused the mountain to shake, and the soldier fell off, and he walked down. And he came, and the king surprised. And he brought more soldiers, and he said, take them, place them in this small container, and take them to the middle of the ocean. And when you are there, order him to believe in us and to leave his God. And if he does not, flip him over and cause him to drown. And again, the child with full reliance and hope in Allah made dua and said, O Allah, protect me from them in the manner that you wish. So Allah caused the seas to shake, and they all were flipped out of the boat, and he survived and swam ashore. And then he came to the king and he told him, know that you will not have power over me to kill me. You won't be able to kill me, except if you gather all the town in an open area and crucify me, put me up, hang me up, and take one of my arrows from my own guild of arrows, from my own place of arrows, take it, my own arrow, and aim at me, and with your loudest voice, so that everyone can hear, say, I kill you in the name of the Lord of the child. In the name of who? The Lord of the child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh explains to us one again, and this is the importance of having a person of knowledge like Shaykh Abu Ishaq, explaining to us, hafidahullah, that Allah planned this from the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned to have this man come and declare Allah's authority over the people's eyes and ears so that they will believe in Allah and disbelieve in him in his own action. So he held the arrow and said, in the name of the Lord of the child, not in my power, because he has no power. In the name of the Lord of the child. And he shot the arrow, and the child told him, when you say this in the loud voice, the arrow will pierce through my cheek and I will pass away. And all of the people, when they saw the king declare this, they all turned to Allah in belief. They all turned to Allah in belief and did not believe in the king. Turned away from him. And the king fell into his own trap. So the advisors of the king came to him and said, you have done more harm to yourself than good. Open a great ditch in the earth. On the path, open and make a big ditch and fill it with molten copper, fire. Have you seen lava? Like this, molten copper. And take person by person and say, do you believe, do you disbelieve in your God? If they say no, throw them in it. And one by one, each was taken and thrown. Until, as the Shaykh explained, a woman who had a young child with her came. And she saw that whenever a person was thrown, he would melt. And she became afraid. She was wavering in her belief in Allah. But the young child, who's also in this narration, one of the people that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared, spoke in his young age, along with the other hadith. This young child turned to his mother and said, My mother, be steadfast, for you are on the truth. Go into the fire, for you are on the haq, you are on the truth. And she was thrown in. And this is the story that we all know, Ashab al-Ukhdud. And this is important that the Shaykh Hafidhahullah has explained to us and showed us that in the reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hope, even if you do not understand it or perceive it. And this is where the Shaykh Hafidhahullah has concluded. Insha'Allah, if you have two or three questions, we will take them before Salatul Maghrib. The Shaykh, this is where he concluded. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. From this hadith of Juraij, give us the ruling on when one mother is calling, when one's mother is calling us, when we are making salah. Should we leave the salah? Please elaborate if there is a difference whether it's sunnah or fard.
بالنسبة للحديث جريج ذكرت أن الرجل لم يترك صلاة جريج هل نأخذ هذا حكم في الإسلام لو دعنا
هو بالنسبة لي يعني هذا السؤال إذا دعت الأم أو الأب الولد وهو يصلي فإن العلماء يفرقون ما بين الحالين يقولون إذا كان يصلي الفريضة فلا يقطع صلاته ولكن يخففها رأيكم ولكن إذا كان يصلي النافلة فإذا كان يعلم أن والده يتأذى من عدم الإجابة فله أن يقطع صلاته ويجيب والده لكن هي كما يعلم أن والده إذا سأله لما تأخرت عني يا بني إذا قال كنت أصلي قبل عذره فلا يقطع صلاته لأنه في صلاة الفريضة لا ولكن في صلاة النافلة على هذا التفصيل والله أعلم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله answers the question by saying the scholars of Islam are in difference of opinion in regards to this question. But the most correct answer is that if one's mother or father calls him while he is in the state of praying salah, which is fard, compulsory, one of the five daily prayers, and he is in a salah, he should not leave it, but he should hurry up. He should hurry up. But if he is praying salah, which is nafl, something that is not from the five prayers, any other salah, and his parents calls him, and he knows that the parent would become upset if he did not answer right away because he is in distress or another reason, then he should leave the salah and go to him. But if he knows that his father or mother, if he comes later after he has finished the salah and hurried up in it and comes to them later and says, I was praying and they would have no problem with this, then he should remain in the salah until the end. A question says, from hadith which are sahih, which contradict each other, what should we take, which one of the two hadith should we take?
بالنسبة لكل حديثين صحيحين يظن الرجل انه هو يعني تعرضا بالنسبة لشرب الماء وهو واقف او شيء مثل هذا
بالنسبة لي يعني شرب الماء واقفا هذا على قولين الأهل العلم فذهب أكثر أهل العلم إلى جواز الشرب واقفا وإن كان الشرب من قعود أفضل وذهب بعض العلماء إلى تحريم الشرب قائما والذي يعني يترجح من هذين القولين هو جواز أن يشرب المرء واقفا وإن كان القول أفضل جواز أن يشرب المرء واقفا الله أعلم.
The Sheikh answers this question by saying in regards to drinking, and this is the question that he answered, in regards to drinking while standing, the ulama are of difference of opinion. Many of the scholars have said it is permitted for the person to drink while standing, yet it is better for him to drink while sitting, but it's permitted to drink standing. The others, another set of ulama, have said it is actually haram to drink while standing. This is something that should not be done. As the way the Shaykh Hafizahullah sees it, if a person drinks standing, then it is ja'id, it is permitted for him to do so, but it is better for him to sit if he has the ability. Allahu a'lam. So inshaAllah we will give you the time now to go and make your wudu and get ready for Salatul Maghrib. We will see you inshaAllah for the lecture by Shaykh Usama al-Zahabi Hafizahullah after Salatul Maghrib. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.